Excellent.
Blog Talk Radio.
Muscle aches, rashes.
To find an answer.
Hair loss. I'm so tired.
You need to ask your doctor the right question.
Could I have lupus?
For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in and listening. More than 55,000 downloads of the podcast. I really appreciate your support and sharing with your friends and family and whoever else that you think might be interested. Lots of wonderful guests have been on, music, health, social, political issues. So I really appreciate you supporting that. This morning, I have two wonderful guests on the show talking about a topic that you might have heard the name, but you really weren't sure exactly what it was. Maybe you were like, oh, yeah, it's like, you know, a woman thing. If you're a man, you don't really have to worry about it. If you're a woman, you'd be like, oh, I kind of heard a couple people. They have some pain in their pelvic area. It's a lot more than that, and that's why I'm having this show this morning. Today I have a wonderful guest, Heather Ropolo. Heather, I don't want to mess up your last name. Please say it.
Ropolo Guadone.
Ropolo Guadone. Okay, and she is here on behalf of the Endometriosis Research Center. And I also have a wonderful doctor, Dr. LaTanya Hines, as OBGYN. She has a beautiful practice out in California. Good morning, Dr. Hines.
Good morning.
I want to thank both of you for calling in. Dr. Hines is all the way in California, so I really appreciate, I know the time difference. Now, Heather, where are you located?
I'm actually in New York.
Okay, so you're on my time, which is 11, but Dr. Hines, you're like at 8 o'clock in the morning out there, right?
Oh, yeah, Saturday morning live.
Saturday morning live. Well, I want to let the listeners know you can call 646-929-0368 if you want to talk to either of the guests or have a question or just want to make a comment. Also, you can follow me on twitter.com/joykeyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. Now, let's just start off with the basics. As I was saying earlier, many of us might have heard of this endometriosis, but we weren't really sure what it is. Dr. Hines, why don't you explain to the audience in a little more detail what endometriosis is?
Well, endometriosis is a chronic pelvic inflammatory condition, and just in simple words, it causes patients to have a lot of pelvic pain, usually most commonly associated with their menstrual cycles, but certainly sometimes they can have pain throughout the month, including pain with sexual intercourse, and they can have pain sometimes even without what we call provocation. They're just, you know, going through their daily lives, and they just have a lot of pain. It's most commonly associated with that specific complaint, pelvic pain, or described as cramping or just abdominal discomfort. Also, it can be associated with infertility. So many times patients don't know about the diagnosis until they are planning a future pregnancy.
Now, you know, as I said earlier, it's just a ignorance of this particular illness. Now, you talked about cramping and pain during a cycle. I mean, well, isn't that normal? I mean, we just talked about that earlier before the show started. I mean, every woman does not have pain during their cycle. Is that, I mean, that's a myth, yes?
Well, actually, that's very important.
I think
important.
I can speak to that as well.
There you go. There you go.
Ahead. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a very important point, because what is normal? You know, you constantly hear the common cultural stereotype, periods are supposed to hurt. Well, in actuality, that may or may not be true. Everybody's going to have some level of discomfort, some level of cramping. That's just hormonal. That's anatomical. That is the basis of the menstrual cycle. However, if you are having pain with your periods or at any time during your cycle that is debilitating or otherwise interrupting your life, then that is absolutely not normal, and it should be addressed.
I know I had a girlfriend when I was younger. She had to call out of work many a times when her cycle would come because of the level of pain. And, I mean, I remember encouraging her, like, you need to, that just seems awful, you know, that it would stop her from going to work, which is affecting her livelihood. So I think, as always, I always preach, if you feel something is off, you know, just don't listen to your friends. Listen to the little voice inside of you that's saying, there's something off here. Go speak to your PCP or your, if you have an OBGYN, which you should as a woman, because you should be getting your pap smears and, you know, getting your checkups every year. So please do that. And also, for in terms of insurance, I know that can be an issue for women. There are many programs that offer free pap smears in local health centers around the country. And I have posted that information before, and I'll post it again today on the fan page and also on Blog Talk Radio to let you know there are free options. So if you don't have health insurance, don't make that an excuse not to get checked out. So now, Dr. Hines, how does a doctor decide, okay, you know what, maybe there's something deeper going on with this patient? What tests do you perform to say, okay, this person definitely has endometriosis?
Well, there is a series of steps that physicians should go through as they evaluate a patient with that particular complaint of chronic or just pelvic pain. First of all is a detailed history and physical, because pelvic pain can be mimicked by pain with the bladder, pain with the bowel, pain with other areas in the lower abdomen. So it's important to get a good history about when this pain comes on. Is it just associated with the period? Is it associated with sexual intercourse or not? Is it worsened by those things? Does the patient have complaints of, say, vaginal discharge or fever or pain that comes and goes, perhaps is not associated with the period? But the most important diagnostic tool, as our wonderful other guest knows about, is laparoscopic evaluation, which is the placement of a camera under anesthesia in the abdomen to actually view what endometriosis is, which specifically, at least the most common etiology of it, is the lining of the uterus is found instead on the pad or on the tampon, but sometimes that lining flows backward through the tubes and into the actual abdomen. It falls on the tubes inside the lining of the abdomen, either on the ovaries, behind the uterus, on the bowel, on the bladder, and that tissue is active, in for better words to say. So when you are going through your menstrual cycle, instead of having an occasional cramp or discomfort from the uterus itself that's experienced in the cycle, your other tissues in the pelvis with this lining laying on top of it also are active. And so you get discomfort from areas. And so there in you get a biopsy from the lining of the abdomen, and it will say from the pathologist, lining of uterus. Well, as the surgeon, you know you biopsied the top of the ovary, or you biopsied the top of the bladder. So you know that, that we call it ectopic tissue. It's found outside of where it normally is, and therein lies the diagnosis. However, that diagnosis, and I know we've got a laparoscopic true surgeon on the phone, it's not absolutely required in order to go forward with making the diagnosis and, more importantly, with treating. You can always empirically treat the patient and see if she responds. And if she does, you can make the assumption that clinically, likely, that her pelvic pain is associated with endometriosis, which is the most common diagnosis in etiology. However, if you really want to know specifically what's happening with the patient, the diagnostic modality is laparoscopic evaluation. And even then, not 100% of the time, you will find what you're looking for, because endometriosis is sometimes not classic in what it looks like
inside
of the
pelvis. It's a very, very elusive illness. Now, Heather, this is for those of you who are just tuning in. Speaking today about endometriosis, and I have some wonderful guests from the Endometriosis Research Center. Now, Heather, why did this organization start? And let's talk about some of the services that you have in terms of support groups and awareness programs and just general information materials that people can download, I know, from your website. Talk to us about that.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Well, the first thing to understand is that endo affects 176 million women and girls. I mean, that is almost epidemic proportions. That's more than Alzheimer's. That's more than Crohn's combined. You know, the annual cost to society is about $22 billion a year. A lot of women and girls with endometriosis find that they are suffering from intractable chronic pain, infertility, pregnancy loss, painful sex. Their lives are truly, truly interrupted. They feel isolated. They feel alone. It's a very, very negative, far-reaching impact. So Michelle Marvel, who is our executive director and founder, now in our 14th year, really acknowledged the need for a place where women and girls and their loved ones and doctors and scientists could come collectively to advocate for one another, to engage in meaningful research, to engage in clinical studies, to promote awareness and accurate education about the disease, to really get the word out and raise awareness about endometriosis so that society and the medical establishment as well understands that this is really an enigmatic disease. It should not be ignored. It needs to be addressed. One of the things that we truly advocate for is timely intervention, early diagnosis, and effective treatment. Dr. Hines was speaking before about certain empiric treatments that can be done. Regardless of when you intervene and how you treat, if you're not surgically debulking and removing the disease, you are not treating it. You can take GnRH agonists like Lupron. You can take oral contraceptives. You can take progestogen-based drugs. There's alternative therapies. There's any number of treatments that any woman or girl could try. And
Heather,
some are very,
Heather,
very
let me, Heather, I'm sorry. Let me just stop you. Mm-hmm. I just want to talk to the audience because mm-hmm. we are running. You know, time is getting close.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the different support groups. I put the 1-800
sure,
number there.
Absolutely.
Talk about
yes.
Girl Talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have a, that
you have
a Girl
is a Talk
really
program.
Great program. Mm-hmm. Yes. Girl Talk is fabulous. That is really directed at adolescents because you will find if you look into the disease, what you will see is that most women actually start experiencing pain and symptoms early on in life, but they go an average of 10 years before a diagnosis. So the goal of Girl Talk is really to reach out in a lay-friendly format to these young women and their families to say, listen, what's normal? And you said earlier, don't listen to your friends. Don't listen to those around you. You know your body best. If you find that something is wrong, talk to your doctor, talk to your family practitioner, talk to someone who can help you find the answer to your pain. So that's really the goal of Girl Talk, is to reach out, educate these young women, let them know at an early age, at early onset of symptoms, to understand, is this normal or is it not? Should I investigate this further?
Yeah.
And by doing
Doctor,
that, we can cut down on the delay in diagnosis.
Dr. Hines, now, we just spoke earlier before the show started that the endometriosis can happen in other parts of the body. And that was very,
absolutely.
I had no idea. Talk to the audience about that and where would it happen in the lungs. I was reading different parts. And where would it happen and what
the
are the symptoms that you would know?
A very common site is at the level of the umbilical site where your belly button is. There are patients who each month have a small amount of bleeding coming through the belly button associated with their menstrual cycle. And so remember I talked about those ectopic sites, those sites outside of the uterus. It can be on the lungs. It can be on the bladder. Patients can have urination with blood in it that's not a urinary tract infection but associated with endometriosis during this cycle. You can also have implants on the bowel so that when they're having their bowel movements during the same time, they can have blood in the bowel. So wherever those sites can be as high as the lung and even in certain circumstances, even in the brain, that these sites, when they are located outside of the pelvis, can also be just as active as when they are also inside the lining of the uterus. And I also wanted to make a comment with my colleague with respect to surgical debulking. The one thing about surgery as well as with medical therapy is that I want to reiterate this is a chronic condition and that although surgery certainly has been shown to decrease the level of pain and discomfort in a much quicker fashion, per se, than medical therapy, the key is that it is a recurrent disease. And it's so very important for patients to understand and be on the same page with the physician is that regardless of what we do in order to try to address the specific symptoms for that patient, that she understands that there is no true cure, and that this will be a plan of management basically for the rest of her life so that she's got to understand that this is a management process and that whether she goes forward with surgery because that's going to be the best treatment for her at that time, that potentially she might have to be reoperated on, that she might have to be on chronic management with medical therapy perhaps in order to keep her symptoms under control, and when and if she decides that she wants to become pregnant, that these symptoms potentially associated with this diagnosis may have a significant impact. So all of these things kind of work together, and so it's important for the patient to understand that.
Well, one of the
things
and
I think
I
definitely
I mean,
a combination therapy approach is important, too. I mean, you can have lifestyle approach. You can combine that with surgical debulking. You know, there's ways to manage it and live well successfully in spite
Absolutely.
Of, I should say.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I want to mention that I've mentioned before with different illnesses is keeping maybe a journal of your symptoms, and that is another way to approach your physician so that, you know, did I really have pain? How bad was the pain? When did it happen? What time of the month? Those things will be very important, I think, for the physician to know. So if you are starting to track it, just write it down. Maybe, you know, keep it in your BlackBerry, your eyes, you know, your phone, whatever you have to do. And then that way when you go to the physician, it's right there and you don't have to try to remember. So keeping a journal of symptoms, I think, is important. Now, Heather, you're having a conference coming up. Talk to the audience about
that. It's actually not the ERC's conference. It is hosted, we are a supporter of it. It is hosted by the Endometriosis Foundation of America, which was founded by Padma Lakshmi and Dr. Tamer Sechkin. It is being hosted, this is the second annual, it will be hosted in New York City this coming week, Friday and Saturday, in the Academy of Sciences in downtown Manhattan. And this is really a fantastic conference. It is a full day of science and surgical information with the latest research on the disease. Day two is geared by, towards, for, and with the patients. It's a day of interactive workshops for patients and their loved ones with experts on the disease. So everybody is invited, public professionals alike. You can go to endofound.org to check out the information on that.
That's wonderful. I also want to highlight that, Dr. Hines, you have a medical practice in California, Girlfriends Medical Group. And the way I found Dr. Hines was through the Association of Black Female Physicians. And you were president of
Black Physicians, yes.
Yes. Talk to us about your practice and also talk about the association a little bit.
Well, the practice was founded approximately 6 years ago in Pasadena, California, specifically because there's such a small number of African-American female OBGYN, certainly here in Southern California. And as the former president for the Association of Black Women Physicians, we represent over 1,000 black female physicians here in the state of California. But in the scheme of things, that's a very small number. And so although my practice certainly caters to many, of course, many women of all different diversities, it is we try to specifically address the needs of women who otherwise perhaps might not go to a physician because perhaps they feel that they don't necessarily have a connection there. So as an African-American female physician, certainly I represent that individual in that particular community. But truly, we have a tagline that says truly a sisterhood of women caring for women. And most importantly, we are there to address all the needs of women, their wellness, their health, and just their overall outlook with respect to being healthy. So it's not just their gynecological need and obviously not just obstetrical need, but really trying to address the issues that affect women and, more importantly, how they impact their health. So this is a daily thing with all women staff, all women physicians, and it's just a very comforting environment, and we really do our best to establish that so women really feel comfortable when they come to see us.
Let me mention your website. I put it in the chat room here. It's just girlfriendsmedical.com. So that's Dr. Hines' link, again, girlfriendsmedical.com. And to reach out to the Endometriosis Research Center, you can type in endocenter.org. Again, that's endocenter.org. They're also on Facebook and Twitter, so you can follow them and like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Now, Dr. Hines, the Association for Black Women Physicians has a lot of different programs. They have a mentoring program, scholarships. Yes. Talk to me a little bit about the sister-to-sister mentoring program.
So the sister-to-sister mentor program was established approximately 30 years ago because the organization has been around. This will be our 30th year. And we were established by a group of physicians specifically in order to try to increase the number of African-American women in medicine. When we think about the numbers, there are over 30,000 African-American physicians in the country per se out of 700,000 physicians. Mm. And of that, only about 15,000, half the number, are African-American females. And so in order to try to increase the number of women in medicine, we had to establish a mentorship program. So we go into the high schools, even into the elementary schools, talking about health. We have well-established
established wellness program that talks about how you can make better choices about what you eat, more exercise, things like that. And, of course, the emphasis is on education. We offer scholarships, and to date we've given over $600,000 in scholarships to need-based students in college entering into medical school, as well as those who are in residency, supporting them along the way. So each woman, and this is not just OBGYNs, we are a diversity from internal medicine to family practice to pediatrics, you name it. We've got many physicians in those subspecialties and trying to reach as many women as possible. And so we've actually expanded with the Latino Medical Student Association, the Filipino Student Association. So we talk to all women because, as
That's wonderful.
It is a unique opportunity in order to, because we women, you know, we're the ones that are bringing the family to the doctors. And so if we can get more of us out there, we really can improve and expand healthcare here in the country.
That's wonderful. Now,
That's
talking
wonderful.
About that comment of that women are bringing people to the doctor is so true. But Heather, on your website, you had a support group for men. Mendo.
Mendo. That was founded by John and Carrie Blondin many, many years ago, and it's specifically, literally, men who love women with endometriosis. That's exactly what it is, just like it sounds. It's for male partners of women with endometriosis who feel really kind of isolated from the process and don't know how to help their wife or girlfriend or loved one. It's just a really unique opportunity for them to get together and kind of sound off on one another and feel empowered, feel proactive, feel as though they are trying and helping to make a difference in the lives of the women in their lives. So it's a great program.
That's very wonderful because, yeah, people, I think, especially men, like for this particular show, I was thinking, well, will any men listen? But I always say that if you are in our society, no matter where you are, if the disease is affecting women, it's affecting men. Because you're in a relationship with a woman,
absolutely.
You're a girlfriend, you're a sister, you have a mother, you have an aunt. So it could be breast cancer, it could be lupus, it could be multiple sclerosis, anything that's affecting women, domestic violence. If you're a man, you are also being affected by these illnesses. So I think it behooves you as a man to become educated about what's going on with women who make up, you know, half of the society. So it's a very important issue. I'm glad that you guys have that on the Endometriosis Research Center. I want to let everybody know, again, you can reach out to the Endometriosis Research Center at endocenter.org. Also, I put the 1-800 number in the chat room, 1-800-239-7280. You can reach out to Dr. Hines at girlfriendsmedical.com. And also, you can check out more information I put in the website about the Association of Black Women Physicians. They're doing some wonderful work mentoring, also scholarships. People need money for school. People need money for medical school, especially. It's extremely expensive.
Yes.
So please reach out, blackwomenphysicians.org, to check them out.
Yes.
And both of these organizations need your support financially. If you are not a doctor or maybe you're not suffering endometriosis, make a donation to any of these organizations to help them continue to support women in their health, but also doctors and physicians, whether they're OBGYNs or not. As Dr. Hines mentioned, it's all women physicians need support. So I want to say in closing, Heather and Dr. Hines, thank you so much for calling in today. Really appreciate you just enlightening the audience about this illness, endometriosis. So please, women, take a moment of time to listen to your body and go get checked out. But writing down a journal, I think, is helpful. Dr. Hines, do you have any other tips for patients when they're speaking with their physician about this particular illness and how to, you know, just bring it to their physician's attention?
I would encourage patients, and this is actually on the front page of my website, which says, don't be afraid to ask your doctor anything. Be prepared to be open and honest. And I feel that if you can't say what you want to say to your gynecologist, who can you say it to? So let her know, or if you are taking narcotic medications, if you're taking Motrin twice or triple the dose that is on the bottle, let them know. If you're taking any herbal supplements, let them know what it is that you are doing and the amount of discomfort, or more importantly, just let them know, because you'd be so surprised at what we hear, and it gives the opportunity from that point forward to make a decision about plan of management, and from that point forward, improving the quality of your life.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Heather, do you have any other events coming up other than the conference in New York? Are there any other things that are coming up on the agenda for Endometriosis Research Center?
Well, we've got the Blossom Ball that we're also supporting, which is the same evening, and that is a great fundraising endeavor. And I did want to make a remark about keeping the pain journal, because I do think that that's so important. And there's actually one on endocenter.org. Anybody can download it and personalize it. So that's just a little handy resource so they don't have to kind of start from
make
scratch. They can
yeah.
use this template. Right, exactly. So just go to endocenter.org and look for the pain journal.
Thank you so much, ladies, Heather and Dr.
Thank
Hines.
You.
Thank you so much for coming on this morning. I hope you have a wonderful Saturday, and I hope you continue success in both your endeavors.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much,
Dr. Hines and Joy. Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a
All
wonderful
right.
Saturday.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening this morning. I just got off the line with the Endometriosis Research Center representative and a wonderful OBGYN, Dr. LaTanya Hines, out in California. You can check out the Endo Center at endocenter.org. You can check out Dr. Hines at girlfriendsmedical.com. And also Dr. Hines is part of the Black Women's Physicians Association, and that's blackwomenphysicians.org. Wonderful organization mentoring other women, giving scholarships, all types of programs, so please check them out and support them. And if you have a young woman that you are associated with, whether daughter, sister, niece, the Endometriosis Research Center has a great group called Girl Talk, which is geared specifically toward adolescents and teens. And then if you're trying to find a place to get a free pap smear, because I know insurance is a very difficult issue in this country right now, you may not have insurance or your insurance may only cover a certain amount, there are places to get free pap smears, and you can call 1-800-422-6237, the National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program. Again, that's 1-800-422-6237. Thank you so much for listening today. Please stay tuned. I'll be speaking with another guest from Women to Women International, doing wonderful work across the globe, helping women in all types of ways, food, education, medical care, you name it, they're doing it. Women for Women International, please stay tuned. The call-in number is 646-929-0368. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful Saturday, a great week, and all the best.
Let's face it, there's a lot you don't know about sickle cell disease.
Like that it affects millions.
People in almost all races.
Black and white.
Indian and Asian.
Hispanic and Mediterranean.
And that it can affect you or someone you love.
No matter where you come from.
Let's face it, there's a lot you don't know about sickle cell disease.
And that's a disease too.
Call the 211 info line to learn more.